This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome back to the Third Age. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Peter Brill. I'm here with the man from Hollywood,
David Devin. The Third Age usually starts somewhere around age 45 or 50, and it's a time when you start to feel a real strong desire for deeper meaning and fulfillment in your life. Your first age is childhood, your second age is building your career, raising your family, and the Third Age is a major change or a transition to a whole new set of problems, values, opportunities, gratifications. So join us as fellow explorers in this journey to discover what brings passion, purpose, and joy into this uncharted time of life. So, Peter?
Many of you who listen to the show are retired. As we say in our introduction, this is a new and largely unexplored age. This generation of retirees will live longer, be healthier, have more choices, more knowledge, and potential experience in this stage of life in a fantastic new ways. Now there's a whole new channel on television devoted to giving you information and entertainment directed towards those who retire. It includes everything from how to use electronics, a dating game, health advice, and a myriad of interesting talk shows. Today we're very fortunate to have the network's two founders, Charles Hirschhorn and Brad Knight, to tell us about this new exciting medium.
Wow, that sounds fabulous. This is what I've been waiting for years and years, and I'm just very anxious to hear how it got started.
Yeah, you tried to do a whole series on it at one point, right?
Well, we tried to do a show. Well, Norman Lear actually tried to do a senior network, and it didn't work out. And then I did a pilot called, what was it called? Young at Heart. It was a talk show. We had Jonathan Winters, and we had an old group from the 60s, the Diamonds, playing Little Darlin', you know? And so we had a real good time, but at the time we just couldn't get it going. So I'm so happy that this is actually happening now.
That's great.
And also that a dating game reminds me of where I started out, because I started out on working on the dating game in the 60s when I first came to Hollywood. So if there's a dating game, I want to see it. Of course, it'd be a little different than it was when I did it, but
It's the same stuff. All right, so David.
Yes.
We were going to talk a little bit each week about a spiritual issue, and I think you had an experience this weekend that you wanted to get started with.
Well, I wanted to talk about a word that really isn't in the dictionary, but I made it up, and it's ancestorship. And I think you wanted to say something first before I began to talk about this.
Well, I mean, you know, we've had, as a result of psychiatry and psychology, an awful lot of focus on the deficiencies of families, the deficiencies of brothers and sisters, fathers, mothers, all the things that people do or fail to do that influence your life and make you happy or unhappy in the present period of your life. That's all on the negative end.
Mm-hmm.
But what we haven't looked at in the same way is throughout the histories of families, the positive end. And I think that's what you want to talk about, the spirituality of that.
I want to talk about it because it got brought up in me very strongly just recently when I spent 4 days with my grandchildren, who are 5, 2, and 1, or almost 1. And every time I have this experience, it brings up something in me that feels deeper than just me. It goes beyond, way beyond me. And I was thinking about, they are ancestors of me, in a sense. So I was thinking about ancestors, and what I'm thinking is that you are the result of your ancestors. Think about that. You're the result of all the ancestors. All of your ancestors live in your heart. When you are an ancestor, you know that you live in the heart of your children and your grandchildren and on down. So when you are engaged with your children, with your grandchildren, knowing that you're going to be part of who they are forever and part of the chain that goes on and on and on, your responsibility is to be your highest possible self. it's not easy all the time, and you don't always know what to do because, as we've heard, there's no real definitive book on being a parent. But if you stay connected with your highest self, with the highest values that you've held, when you deal with your children, with your grandchildren, with whomever you are an ancestor of, that is probably the highest calling that anybody can possibly have. I've always felt that the greatest heroes in this world of ours are single mothers. That's my single mothers who raise their children by themselves, maybe a little help, maybe not. But those are the real heroes in our culture. And it's the same concept. You are an ancestor of a child who's going to carry you in his or her heart forever on down into
for
the
better century. Or for worse.
For better or for worse. And so that's what I was thinking when I was looking into the eyes of this little 9-year-old baby that seemed like infinite eyes, that I was being projected down in through the ages, that she's going to project down through the ages. And it was a really very high spiritual experience. So that's my story about ancestors. I know that everybody here loves their grandchildren, and everybody listening loves their grandchildren.
Well,
and their children.
I don't know if they all may love the grandchildren, but I've talked to a myriad of people who get extremely impatient with their children and their grandchildren because the styles by which people are raising children these days has changed so markedly. And there's always some tension between parents and children over how they raise their children.
Yes, and that's true. I've seen that, too.
And so I think it's a very good thing to keep focusing on, can you transmit your higher self, the part of you that's virtuous, the part of you that's patient, the part of you that knows how to accept and pass love unconditionally, can you model that for your grandchildren?
We actually had somebody in one of our third age groups who was very impatient with her granddaughter. Her granddaughter was gaining weight and eating a lot, and when she and her granddaughter got together and went out to eat, she would be very upset about seeing her granddaughter eat a dessert or eat too much for dinner. And then we talked about in the group, and we worked on patience and how impatience works against transmitting those good values. And now, believe it or not, she just told me the other day that her granddaughter just slimmed down on her own. She stopped doing all that. She didn't want dessert the last time they went out. And all it took was patience.
Yeah. Well, talk about patience. We only have a little time for the news story.
For the news story, and this is a very short story, so we're...
Oh, good. So we're very fortunate.
Oh, yes. It takes place in Manchester, I think England, that is. They're hunting an elderly woman who tried to hold up a post office. This shows that in the third age, you're never too old, you know, to learn how to hold things up, whatever that means. The pensioner, who was aged 65 to 70, pulled out a knife, threatened the cashier, and demanded money. But she shuffled off empty-handed from the post office after staff activated the store's alarm. So police are looking for her, and if you're out there and you are a tourist, you're in England or anything else, look for a little woman who's white, 5'2" tall, with dark hair and a purple coat, and you have caught yourself one postal thief. Okay? How about that?
There you go.
Very funny.
Funniest
thing I ever heard. Well, there's another one here about a woman looking for a goat with bagels.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
We are extremely proud today to have two pioneers on our show. The first is Charles Hirshhorn. He's Retirement Living TV's chief creative officer. This guy created G4 Television, now operated by Comcast, helped start the Fox Broadcasting Network, who can forget about Living Color, 21, Jump Street, The Simpsons. He returned to the wonderful world of Disney to television, has produced and developed over 20 major motion pictures, and now is helping to build upon the success of only network dedicated to empowering those over 55.
And I believe his partner is Brad Knight. Brad has been the driving force behind the network's success in reaching more than, listen to this, 30 million homes and producing nearly 1,000 hours of programming. The former electronics industry exec is new to cable and as his one-year-old network, but his partnership with the likes of AARP and and whoever else. Welcome to the show, guys. We're a little confused today.
You did a good job.
No, we did a terrible job. We are fighting some technical things here and fighting the fact that neither of us have our papers in order. So we're happy to have you with us.
All right. Well, you know, Brad and I'll run the show if you guys want to take a break.
Okay, go ahead. Good. Go ahead and start up. But in the meanwhile, we have a few questions just in case you might need somewhere to start. David, you wanted to start?
Yeah, I'd just like to know, what is Retirement Living TV?
Retirement Living, as you described, is the first television network solely devoted to adults 55 plus. It's sort of our mission to provide all original programming, which tries to inform, involve, and inspire our audience. We're based in Baltimore, Maryland. It was actually founded by a guy named John Erickson. He's been in the retirement community industry for the last 25 years, kind of pioneered the notion of a large-scale, comprehensive care retirement community, a sort of campus-sized communities, has 22 of these communities around the country. Started the Erickson School of Aging at the University of Maryland, publishes a private newspaper to over 4 million seniors, and it was his idea that sort of all the, you know, good values of aging weren't being celebrated in the media, and it was his idea to launch Retirement Living, and he brought Brad into it, and then Brad brought me into it, and we've been on the air since September of 2006.
Okay, now for our 500,000 listeners out there through LA and so forth, down into the valley, why should they subscribe to your network?
Well, they don't need to. It's free if you're a cable or satellite subscriber.
It is. So for Cox and the other ones, it's right on your current cable?
Well, we're working with Cox. Right now, it's on DirecTV. It's channel 223.
Uh-huh.
So if you get DirecTV, we're on 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, on channel 223. And that really, in Southern California, that's your best shot because we're in 14 million Comcast homes, but it's on their local channel, CNA, which is their East Coast and Mid-Atlantic channel. So in terms of, you know, Southern California listeners, it's really DirecTV. We're also in Denver on Comcast CET. We're noon to 4, Monday through Friday on the Comcast networks.
This is really a giant project. How long did it take you to put this one together?
Well, Brad, when did you start?
I started March 6th, 2 years ago, so I'm coming up on my two-year anniversary.
Wow, that's unbelievable, blazing speed in this business.
Yeah, and I think John, you know, had been working on it, you know, from a business development point of view for a couple years before he brought Brad in to actually launch it.
And what were the obstacles that you had to overcome? I asked that because when I produced this talk show pilot, Young at Heart, I found a lot of obstacles in getting it done, and I wonder if you encountered any of the same types of things.
Well, David, you know as well as anyone, in the media business, it's nothing but obstacles.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And when you say 2 years with nothing but obstacles, I'm flabbergasted.
You know, I think the real challenge today is distribution. You know, there are lots of people such as yourself. There are lots of people out there who are interested in producing original programming for this audience, but the challenge is to get it distributed. So right now, we have online distribution, so anyone can go out to our website, rl.tv, and learn all about the network and learn all about the shows, and you can actually stream video on rl.tv if you want to watch the shows.
For free or for a fee?
For free.
Yeah, well, I've watched some of them. They're fabulous. Yeah.
Everything's free here.
They're great.
That's great.
And, you know, then the challenge in television distribution is really working with the major cable, satellite, and now the telcos, the telephone companies, Verizon and AT&T, are also getting in the video television business. So the real challenge for us is working with those major distributors of television and getting them to see the value of the network and see the value of the programming and distribute it. And that, to be honest, is where, you know, your listeners can be helpful, because if they get DirecTV, they can watch it. And if they don't get DirecTV, they can call their, you know, their cable operator and, you know, ask them to provide it for them.
And the way they can, let's get your website up one more time so they know how to find you, and then from there they can get in contact with their cable operator. But what give us the website again.
The website is RL, as in retirement living, .tv.
Yeah, I visited it today. It's quite a website. So, okay. So we have this channel. It got started by Erickson. The message was a bunch of stuff that's missing from how to age well. What excites you about it now? What are you bringing to it that you think is really new, exciting, powerful, meaningful?
Well, I think a number of things excite us. One is this audience, as I'm sure you find with Third Age, is eager to engage. You know, they're interested in information, they're interested in news, they're interested in other people's stories, they're interested in new opportunities. Obviously, they're it's the largest, fastest growing demographic in the mm-hmm. country. They have time, they have money, they have experience, and so they're very open to content. So, you know, across the board, whether it's our original programming about finance, about health and wellness, about news or biographies. You guys were talking earlier about our dating show, Another Chance for Romance, whether mm-hmm. it's about dating. You know, these are all interesting opportunities that people want to engage in.
You know, we have found, we're working kind of at multi-levels, both directly by radio and then with people in groups and workshops. We give speeches and so forth. We have found that probably two-thirds of this age group is struggling with how to bring their dreams about. A good half of that group knows what they want, but they don't know how to get going. They don't know how to get moving. They don't know how to make it come true for themselves. And you must be doing all kinds of studies of the audience.
Yeah, I think the good news for...
Uh-oh, I think we lost our caller here. We'll hold on, people.
We lost our guest.
We
lost both our guests because they think they were both on the same line.
Yeah.
This is...
Why don't we take a break.
You hear us?
Oh,
yeah.
There you go. You're back.
There you go. Okay.
What were you saying? You're saying you're the nice part about this audience.
You know, I think the good opportunity which we recognize is that we can provide information that's an access point to get engaged. So, you know, obviously this year is an election year. If people want to get engaged in politics, if they're looking to join new social organizations, if they're looking to new hobbies, or if they're interested in travel or places to live, you know, this is all information we provide. But mostly, thanks to the internet, we're allowed to, you know, refer people. People can come to our website. So if they're interested in the things they see in television, you know, when Florence Henderson interviews the woman who created the Red Hat Society.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Great.
You know, if there are women who want to join the Red Hat Society or start their own chapter, it's easy to go on our website and we'll provide them with the direction of
where. Well, we're gonna. If you can hold on there, guys, we're gonna come right back after we do our commercial, and then we will continue this discussion about real TV and watching TV and retirement and learning about things you need to know. We'll be right back.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Third Age. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Peter Brill. I'm here with the man from Hollywood, David Devin, and our assistant producer, Marissa Scavasi. We're very happy today to have Charles Hirschhorn and Brad Knight, two pioneers in television and movies who've started a network for retired people, TV network. So the question, what of the shows, are there ones that are more popular than others?
Well, I think since we launched a year and a half ago, that the health programming, the health and wellness program, there's a show called Healthline that Dr. Kevin Soden hosts, which we've made over 130 episodes of, dealing with, you know, really everything from, Alzheimer's to Indian sweat lodges, and, you know, Western, non-Western medicine, healthcare that can be provided outside of the country, you know, caregiving issues. I think that has been our sort of most popular and most successful programming from day one. It is obviously tremendously useful and valuable information.
I can clearly see why. I'm a physician, and I can clearly see why, because people at this age are constantly talking about and looking for good sources of medical information. And the question is, how do you know what to trust and where do you go for it?
Yeah, and Kevin Soden, he's done a lot for the other networks as well, as a very, you know, reputable, well-trusted physician.
That's wonderful.
How does it work? Do people ask questions, or does he just go out and do like a little mini documentary on each thing that he talks about?
Well, a lot of those shows come from, we built a studio inside one of the Erickson retirement communities. So a lot of it is in-studio guests. But, you know, recently took a trip to India and looked at, it starts with an A, I won't be able to pronounce it.
Ayurvedic medicine.
Yes.
At least I got that right today.
But looked at Ayurvedic practices in India, and also traditional Western medicine that in some ways is being outsourced with, you know, sort of travel tourist medicine that practice there as well. So it runs the gamut from call-ins to in-studio hosts to traveling around the country, and then we also invite people to send in questions online on the website.
Great.
What's number two?
What's another show?
Well, we're a small network, so we don't get ratings. So when you ask me what's one and two, it's mostly from, you know, response we get from people calling in or on the email. But The Daily Cafe, which is our live daily 2-hour show from Washington, D.C., is very popular. It has live news on the half hour, and then interviews, call-in segments with, you know, topics of interest, of, you know, thing that we can do because our audience is a little mature and has a little more attention span, is just spend more time with guests. More in-depth questions, but that's very popular. Florence Henderson hosts a show that we tape in Hollywood that's all entertainment individuals and celebrities. So, you know, she'll have Carol Burnett and Gary Marshall and, you know, on the show. So that's been very successful.
That's great. I love Florence Henderson. I used to work with her.
Now, if you're giving this all away for free, is it commercial?
It's just like you guys.
It's cable.
We have advertisers.
Oh, you have advertisers. Okay, because I was wondering how you're paying for all this.
No, it's a traditional ad-supported free cable and satellite.
Well, I'm so excited by what you're doing because the need for specialized information and the coherence of this group of people from 55 on is very, very vital, and I love your philosophy of empowering them. I mean, the core issue that we see is the need for people as they age to become more empowered instead of what happens normally, which is the sense of that they lose power and they become kind of marginalized.
Well, that's sort of the Erickson philosophy. I mean, it started with John developing 100-acre, 3,000-resident campuses, where, you know, people can live in a community and be engaged and be involved and be inspired to try new things. And so we're taking that philosophy of his and putting it on television. I mean, during the commercial break, we have a show called The Art of Living, which profiles people over 55 and what they're up to, and one's a hockey league that was being profiled mm-hmm. during the commercial break, where you have people in their 80s playing hockey, and then newcomers who never skated before mm-hmm. in their 60s just showing up and learning to skate and being a part of it.
See, now, I just if you stop and you just think about that for a second, and the tremendous importance of that to people just to hear about. Think of all the various different activities that people sit home and they don't get engaged because they're afraid of because of their age.
That's yeah, or wonderful. They just don't know where to start.
They don't know where to start. That's the real critical part.
I think what we're trying to do is, you know, obviously reach out to people with television, and then all they got to do is pick up the phone or go online, and we'll give them a place to start.
Oh, that's absolutely wonderful.
Do you count your audience from what age, 50 up,
five,
would you say?
55.
55 up?
55 up. Another thing that you mentioned earlier is a partnership we're very excited about is in March. We'll be premiering two new shows with ARP, which is, you know, partnering to provide content for us. And they're going to do they publish the largest circulation magazine in the world, the ARP magazine. They're going to do a half-hour TV magazine version of that show that premieres in March, and also some more political issues and answers with call-in show based out of their studio in Washington. So
hopefully something with healthcare.
Yeah. So again, I mean, that's an example of the fact that there are organizations out there like ARP that is interested in providing access via television to this audience.
Well, it's about time. I understood at one point that Norman Lear had tried to do something like this, and I guess the world was not ready for it yet. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. We met with him a few months ago, and he was, you know, very supportive of what we were trying to do. He told us a little bit what he tried to do. I think it was called Prime Time.
Yeah, right. Prime Time.
And you know, the challenge when he tried it, and I'm not sure the dates, but it was at least 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Was that the video distributors, the cable and satellite companies, just weren't ready for it. They just weren't interested in that audience. But, you know, now today you can't pick up a newspaper or a magazine or listen to the radio or go online without recognizing how large this audience is
mm-hmm.
and how boomers are aging. And, you know, now it's Hispanics and people over 50 are the fastest-growing demographics in the country.
Your timing
by
is
different,
fabulous.
By different methods, I might add.
Yeah.
and they're
different metrics. You know, and 3/4 of all the disposable income is 55-plus.
Yeah. Absolutely. The advertisers will get onto it eventually.
Well, then that's the real challenge, convincing advertisers that there's a market beyond 18 to 49.
Yeah,
that's the problem that I ran into. And what we heard was the advertisers said seniors don't change brands. Did you hear that one?
We hear it all the time, but fortunately, there are lots of pharmaceutical companies who've been in this market for a long time. There are lots of financial service companies who've also been there for a long time, and now the more enlightened sort of consumer product companies and travel industries are recognizing that 50-plus is a big market.
This is can you hang in for one more segment, and we'll talk more about this? Because I know our audience is very interested in this.
Sure.
Great. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. Find me on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, how to think like a thin person on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to The Third Age. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Peter Brill. I'm here with the man from Hollywood, David Devon, and Marissa Scavasi. Our two guests today are pioneers in the retirement television world, Charles Hirshhorn and Brad Knight. David, I think you had a question.
Well, no, we wanted to talk about caregivers. That's something we hadn't talked about yet.
Yeah.
Guys, what do you do? What can caregivers get from Retirement Living TV?
You know, the caregivers are a really, really important part of our audience. Everybody, we say, once we have your mom, we have your attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a female in the United States, you're 55 years of age and a primary caregiver for a loved one, you're 300% more likely to die in poverty. You're 150% more likely to die of disease. This is a national epidemic. We feel loneliness kills.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You're not going to die of a disease. You're going to die of loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk, and especially on the interactive portion of the website, you know, a lot of our shows have a lot of information and research that go in to support this. We have an on-staff gerontologist, as an example. We also have access to John's team of doctors. John has more geriatricians on staff than anyone in the country. So we do we take it very seriously that we address this information accurate and correctly. So if, like on our Daily Cafe show, it's a two-hour live show out of Washington we talked about earlier, we have 12 telephone lines, and they are almost continuously packed with caregivers looking for very specific information.
Hmm.
I have a 90-year-old mother who lives in assisted living in California, and it was really the impetus for why I began this endeavor with John, is I couldn't find information to take care of mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a heart-wrenching thing to be involved in.
Well, it sure is.
So we have, you know, like all the shows we produce, we cut the shows into topics and then we load them on our website. So you can go to the website and search osteoporosis. And under osteoporosis, we probably have three different segments on the disease. And we cut them into 6 to 7 minute bites so that they're consumable. And we see a lot of activity. The number one thing seniors look for on the web is information. The number one thing of that is medical.
Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that caregivers spend a lot of time watching TV as well.
You know, the caregivers drop back into that 18 to 49-year-old stay-home mom.
That's right. Yep. They do, because they're sitting there taking care of somebody. You're not looking at that person all the time. You know, you got to do something.
And his statistics are not surprising at all, because when you look at the caregivers who are spending full-time or major portions of their time taking care of a sick person,
mm-hmm.
their life becomes often a living hell. I mean, they become so tired and so demoralized and so, I mean, they just, I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah, that's why they're reaching out like that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they call them the sandwich generation.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the sandwich generation, that generation will spend more time taking care of their parents than they did raising their children.
And, you know, Medicare doesn't take care of long-term care. 98% of the
no.
U.S. population over 65 years of age has Medicare as their primary health insurance.
That's yep. right. It doesn't. And Medicaid will only help for a little while if you're in poverty.
It's 100 days.
That's
so
right.
We have suffered long enough. Let's talk about the stars.
Oh, can we talk
yes.
about the stars? Charles, can we talk about this? Can we talk?
Brad was so inspiring.
Yeah, he was. I loved
yeah.
it.
But Charles, you know, you've worked with the biggest stars in Hollywood. You've worked with, Barry Diller's not a star. Michael Eisner, are these stars? Jim Carrey's a star. Jennifer Lopez. What's different with working with people like Florence Henderson or the talent at RLTV?
Well, first of all, I think we have the biggest star in our demographic on the air, which is Walter Cronkite.
Yeah.
And he does weekly short essays, video essays on topics that we air on the Daily Cafe, which is, you know, it's fantastic and a fantastic opportunity, you know, to get him back on the air. So that's been very exciting. And Florence is great. You know, the nice thing is, there are people like Jason Alexander who have, you know, you get to work repeatedly with, because we all get older. So I did Cinderella with Jason and Whitney Houston and Brandy when I was at Disney, and now he's doing live theater in L.A. and on the Florence Henderson show. So it's fun.
But can you give us any gossip? I mean, you know, can you whisper it?
I don't know if you want to know gossip about Florence Henderson.
The only gossip was about Florence Henderson appearing on Dancing with the Stars. She's a big fan of the show.
Uh-huh.
But at least as of yet, she hasn't been invited. That was in the New York Post the other day. But as of yet, she hasn't been invited.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing how some of these people never really seemed to, I mean, on the outside they age somewhat, of course, we all do. But a lot of these people that I've worked with over the years in the entertainment business and television, they seem to be able to retain this youthful quality that shines through their eyes, that when they talk to you, it's just like they haven't changed.
Yes, and it's amazing what being on camera does for someone.
Yes, it does.
Now, there are many times when we have guests arrive for a taping, and they're looking a little tired, and the moment the lights go on and the camera goes on,
that's absolutely right.
That entertainment chromosome kicks in, and they deliver big time. It's really fun.
They do. I don't know how old Florence is at this point, but when we did our pilot, we had Betsy Palmer, if anybody remembers Betsy Palmer, and she was 80, but nobody could believe she was 80. So it's like, you know, everybody gets transported right back to that fabulous place where they were, and they feel comfortable with those people.
Okay, so you get to see your friends from the past. You get fabulous information. How do people get this?
Well, again, what they really need to do if they get cable or satellite is call their cable operator, call their satellite operator.
And we got a couple of them. Comcast, or Cox is one.
Time Warner in the Valley. Cox here in Santa Barbara and probably Ventura.
And there's one more, right?
And then there's Comcast. Charter.
Charter is cable. And then if you're a DISH customer, if you're a satellite customer, if you're on DirecTV or Comcast, you have it, although not on the West Coast. So all the other cable and satellite companies, you just need to call them and ask for it.
What do you got against the West Coast? We're vital and important out here.
We're
younger.
Working on it.
We're younger.
we have plenty of enthusiasm on our own.
We have another minute left. Is there anything that you guys want to say to our audience out there?
I think we've it's covered most of it.
Yeah, we have. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you. Quick answer. Retirement Living TV. Can people who are not retired watch the shows?
it is our ambition to, help redefine that word.
Absolutely.
Ah,
I hate that
great,
word.
Great.
To sort of, re-inspire, much like you're doing with Third Age, to sort of re-inspire and re-engage and, not look at retirement as a time where you have to slow down, but retirement as a moment of freedom where you have the freedom to pursue what you want to pursue.
Great. Thank you. Charles Hirschhorn, Brad Knight, thank you with RLTV. We'll keep talking about it on the show. Thanks for being with us. We'll be right back.
Listen to Living Green, Effortless Ecology for Everyday People, a weekly online audio program featuring champions of sustainable living. At personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to the Third Age. I'm here with a man from Hollywood, David Devin. I'm one of your co-hosts, Dr. Peter Brill and Marissa Scavazzi.
Well, this was very, very interesting and something. By the way, we went to their website today, which is RLTV. Is it RLTV or is it RLTV?
Yeah, it's right here.
RL.TV. And they have a fabulous website which shows you what their lineup is like, the shows on their television channel. And I got to tell you, it really looks great. It looks like it's something that's so overdue that didn't you once tell me there was a statistic about how people in the Third Age, how much television they watch?
Oh my God! 44 hours a week.
44 hours a week on average of people in the Third Age watch.
I think they watch the most of any age demographic.
You're studying this in college, right?
Exactly.
And she got an A on her test, so she, we can believe her now.
Exactly. I believe
she was
her
getting
anyway.
B's. We had.
You might doubt my worthiness.
Right. Was it multiple choice though?
Yeah.
Always did well in multiple choice tests. You could kind of figure it out,
I like multiple choice. Don't have to write or try anything. No.
So they've got this huge, huge audience just sitting there waiting, wanting something, And it's just the timing is great. We have a workshop this Saturday coming up, February 23rd, at Antioch University. 969-9794 if you want a place there, or you can register on the website, which is thirdagefoundation.com.
David, you know, our guest today said something so profound when we were talking about the caregivers and about life and about this stage of life. He said people are dying not of illness but of loneliness. Now, I just want to tell you out there that your world is going to get smaller unless you put active effort into reaching out and forming new structures, new people, new ways of it relating in your life. Our workshop on February 23rd, that's this weekend at Antioch, you can register by going to our website, thirdagefoundation.com or 969-9794. Or we'll also be having a workshop at City College on March 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Come out. Don't sit alone. Don't let your life go in a direction you don't want it to. This is the most exciting time of life, I promise you. It can be. It's realistic. Yes, we can. What is it? Yes, we can. Right? Yes, we can. Yes, you can. And so please do that. 969-9794 or thirdagefoundation.com.
You know, by the way, the Third Age is a Third Age Foundation is a nonprofit. And if you're in the mood to help out your fellow Third Agers through the foundation and the work that we do and the outreach, you can make a donation on our website as well.
What we turn your money into is a way of helping people, also trying to empower people in this stage of life and trying to find ways for people to be treated better in all ways at this time of life.
Yeah, everybody, this loneliness thing is connection is what people in the Third Age we've found are really, really looking for. And that's it for us today. We'll see you soon.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.